Today on 4CA, John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Some people reading the Cairns Post today, I think, get a bit of a surprise and would be a little alarmed to read the article by Catherine Duffy on page 3. It's under the heading, "Keep Your Hands Off Bats." More than 20 bitten this year. People urged to reduce risk of infection. Have a listen to this. 23 people have been bitten or scratched by bats this year in Cairns, as Health and Wildlife Services remind people how they can keep safe this breeding season. Now, this comes after a woman was bitten by a bat on the way back to her CBD hotel after an evening out with friends. This is back in September, during a rare encounter at night. It goes on to say, Tropical Public Health Services Director Dr. Richard Gere said, people should not fear bats, but should take care about wildlife. And he went on to say, not touching bats is essential, of course, because their complex immune systems tolerate viruses that can make other animals or people sick. And he talked about the 23 people bitten or scratched who've required medical treatment. Now, one of the areas I want to explore here is this medical treatment. I've heard people getting injections, in fact, years ago. I think with people used to relate it to the rabies treatment. And I think I talked to a lady one day who'd been bitten by a dog overseas and had to get the rabies treatment in with injections in the stomach. Now, it goes on to say here, or he said, the big disease is Australian bat lysivirus, which is bat rabies, is the term again, see? Anyone bitten or even scratched by a bat needs a series of injections to prevent a potentially fatal illness. Now, actually, I've got a new name on my screen, which will be interesting indeed. Her name is Dr. Tonya Marquardt, and she's the Public Health Medical Officer at Tropical Public Health Services in Cairns. Tonya, good morning.
Good morning. How are you,
Jim? I'm good, thanks, Tonya. How do I pronounce your name?
Marquardt.
Tonya,
I'm just Tonya's fine.
I'm pleased you've come to the line, because this is an area a whole lot of people, you know, because it's esoteric to say the least. A whole lot of people have distorted views on getting bitten, the sort of danger that means, the sort of treatment you might have to undergo. Firstly, let's talk about the frequency of any real issues from bat, you know, scratches or bites. What's your experience?
So as you mentioned, we have had 20 this year. I think on average we'd average around about 30 or 40 per year. So being 20 so far is pretty standard for us. The majority of what we see will be people who've actually interacted directly with bats, like tried to pick them up, or, you know, especially now this time of year where they're breeding, you see lots of, you know, baby bats fall out of trees and things, and people will often go and try and assist them. And that's the majority of that handful of cases. You know, 20 is not very many given how many people and bats are in the area. It's just a handful of people who sometimes try and pick up a bat and not realise how easy it is to get a bite or a scratch in that process. So, yeah, it's not frequent, but when it happens, they do need to get protection against a possible exposure to the lysivirus that the bats can carry.
So a baby bat would scratch or bite, would it?
Adults or babies, all of them, yeah. Okay. And small or large, our advice is basically don't pick up a bat, don't handle a bat, leave it to the wildlife carers who should be vaccinated and protected against it.
If you didn't take precautions and go and see a doctor or whatever, what are the risks?
Really hard to estimate. We don't know exactly how many bats carry the virus, so generally we would say any exposure should be taken as a possible risk, and it's better to get protection just in case. Mm. There've been, I think, 3 cases in total over the past decades. Mm. So it's not very common that we see it, but we do manage every single bite and scratch that we become aware of systematically, just in case, because it is a fatal disease. If you do contract the disease, we don't know the likelihood of that, but if you do contract it, there's not much we can do after the fact.
Really?
Mm.
It's not 100% fatal, surely?
Essentially, it's thought of as 100% fatal.
Hell.
Because it's like the rabies virus. So if you did contract the disease, but it's really rare that we see the disease, that's why we've only had 3 actual cases over the years.
So. Isn't it funny? The belief is we don't have rabies in Australia. Is that still real if this is considered rabies?
So they are in the same family, but they are considered distinct diseases. So, yeah, lyssavirus is in the rabies family, but it's not actually rabies.
Are they equally dangerous?
Essentially, yes, but I guess your risk of catching rabies in a country that does have rabies is potentially higher than your risk of catching lyssavirus.
Are the symptoms similar or identical?
I haven't seen a case of this virus. I have seen cases of rabies overseas. My understanding is they're very similar, yeah.
Give us an idea of the symptoms of rabies that you've seen overseas.
So rabies, it essentially causes a really severe septicemia, so people become very unwell, very high fevers, and, you know, the common one that people are aware of is the fear of water, so they can start to be panicked when they're exposed to water and things like that, get
really?
Very dehydrated and aggressive and agitated. Yeah, it's a nasty disease.
Aggressive and agitated, so it impacts on the brain, on your thinking, on your mentality.
Yeah, correct. So.
Wow. Is that one of the symptoms of lyssavirus?
As I said, I haven't seen the cases, but I would assume that, yes, that would be a type of symptom that you may catch. Mm. But again, incredibly, incredibly rare, and we're really lucky in Australia to have the vaccine and the immunoglobulin to prevent the infection from occurring. Yep.
Now, is there an issue when we talk about horses and lyssavirus? What's the connection?
I don't really equate horses with lyssavirus.
Oh, okay. I thought that there was a situation where the horses get bitten and they might be transmitting it. That's not the issue. It's the bats transmitting this particular issue to human beings that is the problem. When you do go to the hospital and get the treatment, I presume it's injections, where did the person receive the injections? Because a lady told me she had to have injections overseas, I think it was in India, in her stomach.
Yeah, so there's two different types of injections that you need to get. So the main one is the vaccine. So the vaccine can take about 7 days to kick in and start working. So in the short term, you also get some acute immunoglobulin, which is just some immune protection that will kick in prior to the vaccine starting to work. So the immunoglobulin injection happens around the side of the bite or scratch.
Yeah.
So that can immediately start to mop up the lyssavirus in the short term. And then the vaccine kicks in and stimulates your immune system to fight it off once it gets going in about 7 days. So you haven't previously been vaccinated before you got exposed, then, and that's just into the muscle, so just up in your arm, your shoulder, where most of your vaccines are. So, but if you've previously been vaccinated, you don't need the immune protection because you've already got immune protection. You just need a couple of more doses of vaccine. But if you've never been vaccinated, then you also need that protection for the first week.
Well, who's been vaccinated in Australia?
So most wildlife carers, you find, will be vaccinated. Oh. And most people who travel overseas to rabies areas have had rabies vaccine as well.
Okay. Yeah. 7 days to start working.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think most vaccines take a little while for your immune system to recognise it and develop the long-term immune from it. And it's a series of vaccines, so it'll be 4 doses.
Do you stay sick for the whole 7 days?
Oh, no, so you won't be sick. The whole idea of the vaccine is for it to come in before you're infected and prevent you developing the infection. Mm. So you won't be sick at all. You shouldn't be catching the infection. Okay. That's why we use it. So it's after exposure but before you catch the disease. Mm. Yeah.
Now, Tonya, have you got plenty of this particular vaccine available at, for example, the Cairns Hospital?
Yeah, exactly. So Cairns Hospital at the moment's the main place where we have to send someone who didn't have vaccine. Mm. So that's where they'd give the immunoglobulin and the vaccine. Mm. But predominantly we try and avoid needing it at all because the whole aim is don't pick up a bat and then you won't need it. So it's extremely rare that someone has unintentionally interacted with a bat. It's predominantly the people who picked it up. So our core message is, you know, don't go in and handle bats. Call a wildlife carer, they should be vaccinated, use proper protection, and then we won't need to do it. So, and you can see that with so few requirements throughout the year that most people are aware of that. It's just this time of year with the baby bats that we tend to see a little bit more of an uptick in it.
Well, Tonya Marquardt, this has been a very fulsome update on this particular matter. Thank you. Very, very comprehensive. Are you relatively new at the hospital?
A couple of years here, on and off. So, yeah, I worked overseas for a little bit, and then I've been back and forth to Cairns for a while. Yeah.
This has been a really, really excellent and worthwhile update. Hopefully we'll speak again. Thank you.
No worries. Lovely to chat, John.
How impressive was that? Her name is Dr. Tonya Marquardt, M-A-R-Q-U-A-R-D-T, Public Health Medical Officer, Tropical Public Health Services, Cairns.